This meeting is now being recorded.
So thanks to everyone for joining us. The main purpose of this meeting is to try and tee up the discussions for the face-to-face in Johannesburg, as well as to review some of the minor changes to the documents that have been added over the last couple of weeks in order to factor in some of the what I see as the non-controversial changes from the comments that we received during the consultation. Before we get to that, however, I just wanted to reach out one more time to see if there was anybody who might be willing to volunteer to take up the aspects of the review process that my former co-rapporteur Chris Wilson left behind when he resigned about a month ago, a couple of weeks ago. If you'll recall, he had to step away from professional reasons, and we had kind of a division of labor where I was reviewing the sections on the DIDP and board deliberations, and he was taking interactions with governments and whistleblower protection. So I put out a call to the list to see if anybody wanted to step up and haven't really heard back. In terms of, like, I can take them on myself as a last sort of resort. It'll set us back a little bit, but should be fairly manageable if we need to. I guess one thing that hadn't really occurred to me before, but I'm thinking of it now, is perhaps reaching back out to Barbara Wanner, who was the one who prepared the initial draft of the whistleblower protection thing. So, looking around, I'm not really seeing any volunteers on that front. If anybody is willing to take on those two sections or just one of those two sections, particularly the one on interactions with governments, that would be greatly appreciated. But if not, seeing those, then I can step up and take those on myself as well. We're pretty close to the finish line on both of those, I think. I haven't really reviewed the whistleblower protection and interactions with governments ones very closely, but I feel like it's fairly well developed now, so it should so it's close to the end of the process, so it won't be too much of an issue to take those on myself if need be. I mean, it's always better to have a division of labor, but if I need to do it in order to keep things moving forward, then I'm happy to take that on. So I guess as our action area for this. Not hearing any volunteers for that, I'll take on the interactions with governments aspect myself, and I'll reach directly out to Barbara to see if she'll be willing to keep working on her version of it, of her the draft that she prepared on whistleblower protection, and see if she can take that forward. So moving forward from that then, I sent around about 30 minutes ago a revised draft of the document and recommendations. If you'll recall from the last phone call that we had, we had basically divided the recommendations in into two sort of categories. I guess I should update you guys as well about what happened. So previous to our last call, I had spoken to Samantha Eisner of ICANN Legal, and we've had a very good and productive conversation, and she had promised to get back some additional information for us, and I was supposed to also provide some additional information to her. I provided that shortly after our last call and sort of reminded her about getting us a little bit of additional information and haven't heard back from her yet. I wrote again late last week to remind her and still haven't heard back. Hi, I see Bernard's hand is up.
Hi, Michael. On that front, I've reached out to Sam and I've not heard back from her. I believe she's currently or already in South Africa. I believe the board is meeting, and usually these are pretty hectic times for her. So I've got on my to-do list to try and find her while I'm in Johannesburg and see when she'll be able to deal with that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that they're really swamped at the moment. I think that I think that a very important part of the, we're entering the later stages of the process now, the last stages of the process, and a very important part, I think, is getting some dialogue going with ICANN Legal about the proposed changes, in particular the one about attorney-client privilege, but generally to have a bit more of a back and forth, so hopefully we can get that done in order to arrive at final recommendations that everybody is happy with. So that's just sort of the update about where things stand with them, and I will, of course, let you know as soon as we hear anything back. In the meantime, if you'll recall, from I think it was the last conversation that we had, we separated out the issues that we're facing basically into two. And we isolated, I think it was three areas that were going to be a little bit controversial and going to require some robust discussions. And those were the approach to attorney-client privilege, the approach to commercial information, and the approach to open contracting. Those were sort of the three that we recognized that was going to be where there were very strong opinions on different sides that needed to be a little more robust discussion, with a sort of a duty to document also kind of on there, although after speaking to Samantha, that really seemed to be more about less about hammering out compromises and more about just talking out the practical implications. So less of a controversial one and more of an area where attention needs to be paid, but it's not about hashing out and finding compromises. Since that last call, I went back to the document and setting aside those issues, I tried to resolve the smaller little objections that people had raised, which I viewed as not being particularly controversial and mostly about poor wordsmithing or just areas that needed clarification. I'll say that I did that for the DIDP and board deliberation sections, although there wasn't anything in the board deliberation section that people had raised strong objections to. And I haven't done that with the interactions with governments or whistleblower protection sections because I was hoping somebody would step up. I was hoping to hear back from somebody else. But I will take a look at those in the coming little bit. I'm not sure that that's necessarily going to be that there's anything too controversial in those either, but I will take a look. So I was hoping that with this meeting we could go through those minor amendments and make sure that everybody, that there's no objections to the small changes, as well as to kind of agree to a framework for discussions for the face-to-face in Johannesburg. If we can get the revised report up on the screen, I sent it around to everybody, so hopefully you all can bring it up on your computers as well. Changes are tracked, but it's not, this is what we're waiting to get it up. Okay. So I guess you can't really see the track changes in this version. But if you have it on your computer, hopefully you can see it there. So the first change is a very small one. If you look at the beginning of the second paragraph of the executive summary, originally there was a reference to the right to information. And I think it was one of the comments said that the way that it was phrased made it sound confusing in relation to the human rights, discussion of rights. So as part of my ongoing process to scrub any mentions of rights from this document, I deleted that and replaced it with just discussion of global transparency standards, which I assume is not controversial and is really just a stylistic little thing. The next change is in the bottom of page 5. And maybe the best way to do this is shoot a hand up if you object to any of the points that any of these points. So just getting down to bottom of page 5. This deals with the recommendation for providing more, for ICANN to provide a little more information about how the requesting process works. ICANN's response back to us on this was like, oh, well, we've already done that. And they linked to a document that I'd already seen that was kind of a little bit skeleton in its description of how this works. So I sort of elaborated out and wanted to emphasize that, like, yes, we know that that document's there, but we're hoping for a little bit more. And I linked to a very lovely flowchart that the British Office of the Information Commissioner has put out about how they handle requests to sort of give a better idea of the kind of nice, kind of user-friendly and easy-to-understand thing that we're hoping might be produced in order to allow requesters to get a better sense of the system. So there's a link down at the bottom, which you're free to check out. But basically, it's just about elaborating out and letting them know that we are hoping for a little bit more. I'm actually thinking that once we are all on the same page, once we all have consensus agreement about the nature of the recommendations, that'll be after Johannesburg, as part of the final stages of this, one thing that might be good to do is to actually draft up a suggested CIDP itself and say, like, to avoid any confusion about what the recommendations mean, that that should be included as part of the final package that we deliver, because it can be confusing otherwise if you just have recommendations without that kind of follow-up. I see Bernard's hand is up.
Thank you, Michael. Just for information, we'll be working on a best practices guide for recommendations, and avoiding possible confusion is really the key in there. It talks about clarity, implementability, and measurability. Clarity is about, does everyone understand exactly the same thing when you make a recommendation? Two, implementability is about being able to actually do this. Is there a reasonable way to get this done effectively? And finally, the measurement point is about two functions, and is about ensuring that there's a way to measure that the recommendation has been completely implemented or not, and B, once it is implemented, some sort of scheme to measure if it's effective. So I think you'll be seeing that coming your way soon. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Bernard. That's I will definitely be looking forward to reviewing that. I see David's hand is up.
Thanks, Michael. It's David McCauley here. I just wanted to say I think what Bernie said just makes great sense. Happy to hear it. It's consistent with what we agreed in Copenhagen, that we would have a final sort of consistency review, and I'm very happy about that. Secondly, with respect to your suggestion about an actual DIDP, I think that would be a good idea as well, you know, subject to what comes out of the best practices document that Bernie was mentioning. I thought it was a good idea. And then thirdly, I would simply mention that with respect to these minor changes to the document, I think they look fine, but I personally hadn't read them before the meeting. I was engaged in a hallway conversation, didn't have a chance to look at it. And my thoughts on that are it depends very much on what ICANN says. I'm very interested in the additional comments that ICANN's going to put forward. And that includes with respect to the British flow chart and things like that. So while these seem good, I just think they depend in some measure on what ICANN says. And so I think I'd have to say that for lack of, my lack of objection is really meant to say I need a little time to think about this and see how ICANN reacts too. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate that. And I also understand that, and I did send this very late around. I wasn't really intending this to be like a formal reading process. I was just sort of hoping that we could sort of discuss these minor things and sort of kind of get everybody on the same page, and there will be a formal process of resolving these later on. I mean, you know, because obviously there's still issues that are left to resolve, the major ones, which I haven't touched in this. And of course, we do hope to, like, most of these changes are in response to the objections that ICANN's raised. So we will, I guess, hear back. But it was mostly about, in terms of developing the DIDP, mostly about ensuring that everybody is on the same page and those values that Bernard had mentioned. So that's great to hear that there's some support for taking forward in that way. Just go back to the document now, mentioning the next thing, which was we also recommended that the process be, so it says that the better practice in access to information systems is to appoint a dedicated employee or team to be tasked with processing requests. And ICANN responded to that by saying, like, well, we already centralized the process. And again, that comes down to, I think, a bit of a misunderstanding. And so I clarified a little bit to say, like, there should be specific, it's not just about making sure that as a request comes in, somebody gets assigned it. It's about making sure that there is a particular person who's, like, the DIDP person or a small team of people but who have that as part of their core responsibilities. And I also included, in order to clear up any confusion, a suggestion that that should be sort of published, that, like, hey, here's our staff person who's going to be dealing with that stuff so that people know who to reach out to. So that's sort of just mentioned in the second paragraph on this page that mentions publicizing the identity of the person who's dealing with ICANN requests. Moving on to, just let me briefly make sure there's no, nothing other than the, I think that the next place that we're going to is all the way down in the recommendations. So just bear with me. Right. Again, just some minor changes in terms of recommendation 4. It now says delegating a specific employee or employees who has that responsibility. Oh, sorry. It's the recommendations page 20 to 23. My apologies. Small change to recommendation number 4, which is just reflecting what I just said. Recommendation 5 has been changed in order to clarify concerns that I can raise about resources. So I think that they read, and we've had this discussion in the working group as well, as I recall, in terms of the requirement, the commitment to complying with requesters' reasonable preferences regarding the form in which they wish to receive information under request. That's exception number, or recommendation number 5. ICANN's response was to say, like, well, hang on a second, are people just going to come fishing and say, hey, convert all these documents for me? And so I clarified, no, that means that comes into play if ICANN either already has that information available in the requested format or can convert it to the requested format relatively easily. So it's not about going and fishing and asking for them to convert, you know, or to save multiple versions of every document and convert multiple versions. The idea is just, if you have another document sitting there, if you have it in two different formats and they say, hey, can I get this format? Or if you have it in multiple languages and they say, like, I prefer it in this language if you already have it. Just that kind of a idea of respecting preferences or facilitating preferences where it can be done easily. So that was a concern that ICANN raised, and I added that little caveat at the end to make sure that it was not misunderstood. There's been a small change to recommendation number 8. Again, a similar kind of thing where I think that ICANN's concern was that ICANN's creating a responsibility for ICANN staff to direct requesters to where information may be found if it's already been published was going to lead to people making narrative types of requests. So, hey guys, gather up all of this information, like these big fishing expeditions that would lead to problematic resource expenditures by ICANN. And so again, I clarified that as well by adding a little sentence towards the end of the recommendation saying, in other words, if the processing of a DIDP request reveals that the information has already been published, so staff should include information about where this information may be found in the response to the requester. ICANN actually said in their response to us that they already do this as a matter of practice, but then they also said that they were concerned about, it was a bit confusing because on that single recommendation, they first said, oh, it's no problem, we already do this, and then said, this is very problematic because it could lead to resource challenges. So I sort of tried to alleviate that concern by clarifying what we're talking about again. And the other the next revision is in on the following page with number 12. The intellectual property, the IPC, I think, in exception number 12. So exception number 12 deals with reaching out to third parties when their personal information or commercial information is under request to obtain their consent for disclosure. We need to discuss approaches to commercial information. We're not going to discuss that here. We're going to discuss that face-to-face. So putting that broad issue to one side, the IPC had said they had raised a concern saying, like, well, hang on a second. If it's the requester who's reaching out to the third parties, that's inappropriate and a privacy problem, and et cetera, and which is completely true. And as that had been drafted, the idea was that ICANN would reach out, but the IPC submission said that that was unclear, so I clarified that, saying that the idea of reaching out to the third parties to try to ascertain if they have any objection to the disclosure is done by ICANN. And to just clear up what we're talking about, to just provide a little more clarity as to what we're talking about, we're talking about instances where an exception is grounded in not in ICANN's interest, but in a third party interest. So third party privacy interests or third party commercial interests. If a request comes in and it touches on those interests, ICANN would reach out to the person who's affected and say, like, hey, do you have an objection to the disclosure or do you have no problem with it? And this is standard practice across access to information systems, because if the person who's contacted doesn't have any objection, then there's no problem with disclosing it. And of course, I do realize that we're discussing this, that we have more to discuss in terms of the approach to third-party commercial information generally. But the only purpose of this little clarification here is just to note that that consent mechanism. The request is for, David McCauley says, the request is for permission to disclose, not objection to disclosure. Well, the way that it's phrased is to assess whether they would consent to disclosure. The difference between permission and objection is kind of what we're talking about here. That's kind of at the core of the bigger issue that we need to discuss, is how much control third parties have over that disclosure, and whether it's veto power or not. And I know your position on this, David. And that's an issue that we're going to discuss in Johannesburg, because I think that that's one of the contentious ones. It's not visible on the screen right now, but if you have your own versions of the doc open, you'll notice that for exceptions number 11, 15, and 16, I added kind of little comments sort of framing out that that's what we need to discuss. And just to read those out, it says for number 11, to be discussed Is there scope for providing avenues for access to some types of information provided by third parties while still respecting the legitimate interests of these parties? How does this recommendation interact with the recommendation around open contracting and the use of NDAs? And that's basically just sort of teeing up the conversation and saying, like, how do we feel about this? Similarly, on the next one, or on number 15, I added a comment saying to be discussed, how should this exception be structured for attorney-client privilege? And are there specific areas of information related to ICANN Legal which we would like to see released? That's the main thing that ICANN Legal is kind of waiting for from us, is a little bit more guidance of, they've expressed unhappiness with the rephrasing as it currently stands, as, you know, as did two or three of the responses to the consultation as well. So they said, we don't like this. Give us a little more information on what specifically you want to see released. And we also said, give us a little more information about what specifically you want to keep secret. And sort of are hoping to meet back with that. And that's one of the areas I'm hoping to hash out at the face-to-face, is more specifics about, like, what do people want from ICANN Legal? What are the areas of transparency that we can look for other than this more stronger change, which we had originally recommended? And then finally, in comment number 16 on open contracting, says, to be discussed, in order to clarify the scope of the DIDP, it is important at the very least to understand how NDAs interact with the DIDP. How should this be approached, and do we want to include a specific recommendation on open contracting? So those are the three areas to discuss at Joburg, and that's the language that I use to kind of tee up that conversation. And one other minor change that was made on the following page. So again, 22, and this is to the recommendation of documenting and reporting on ICANN's interactions with governments. I took a quick look at, there's been a back and forth between ICANN and Chris that I kind of have to sort of take up the mantle and jump into now, basically around how this is going to work. This probably will require a little more back and forth with ICANN as I think about it, because they're, obviously this is something that affects them quite a bit. But for now, previously it said all expenditures, and we got a recommendation in to limit that to expenditures over $20,000. So if you look at the first bullet point where it used to say all expenditures, now it says all expenditures over $20,000 on an itemized basis by ICANN, both for outside contractors and internal personnel devoted to, quote, political activities, both in the U.S. and abroad, should be disclosed on at least a yearly, but no more than a quarterly basis. So that's just in response to one of the inputs that we got in. And I believe, I'll just take another quick through and make sure there's not, I think that's all of the changes that have been made. And that's basically meant to prepare us for the discussions in Johannesburg. I see Bernard's hand up.
Thank you, Michael. Just to give you notice, if you haven't looked at the schedule, we've scheduled 45 minutes for this. And so if you want to structure the discussion accordingly, so that you can use up that time, I think that will be great. On a second point, I've got included some documents, including the summary of comments from the Transparency Public Consultation in the send last night with the agenda, but would you be okay if I distributed this new version of the document and the transcript to sort of tee this up so people understand the issues we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, certainly. I would very much welcome. I very much welcome the distribution of the revised document. Maybe it would be good to distribute as well some of those background documents that I sent around. If you want to, you can mention that these are not background documents that are endorsed by the working group. If people would feel uncomfortable, because they're not position papers. It's just kind of some discussions that I had students dig into a little bit. Bernard?
We'll make sure to refer people to the wiki where we've got a list of everything that's been presented here. How's that?
Okay. Yeah, sure. That's fine. Just in terms of the schedule, like I had seen that, I was kind of, I understand it's a busy day and you've got to cram everything in. I also didn't mention this in advance. I was hoping that there could be a little bit more time than 45 because I was kind of hoping to hash out these final issues. But I should have, contacted you about that earlier. And I also know that it's a busy day, so that maybe probably can't be accommodated. But I just thought I would mention that now in case, like, if there's any rescheduling that happens incidentally or if things get shifted around a little and there is a little bit of time that is left over, it would be very much appreciated if there's any more available. But I understand if that's not possible. Bernard?
Well, usually the co-chairs try to run this so that if there is an active discussion, they'll always try to make sure that that discussion gets completed whenever possible. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate that. Just because my hope is that, like, this kind of face-to-face will be sort of the area where I know we have some big issues to hash out, and my hope really is that with this face-to-face we can kind of finish the conceptual debate around the document, can get to a point where we're basically on the same page conceptually and have a consensus on that, and where after that it just comes down to the little details and wordsmithing. So thanks very much for that. That's all that I wanted to, that's sort of the end of my kind of program. I mentioned a bunch of little changes. If anybody has any objections to those, then we're obviously very receptive to that. And otherwise, does anybody have anything that they want to say or any additional comments either on the changes or on our work for the face-to-face or anything else? Going once, going twice. Okay. So thanks for joining us and for your continued engagement on this group. If there's nothing further, I look forward to catching up with all of you in Johannesburg. Thanks very much, and I'll see you there.